This is Digital Story Podcast number 794, June 7th, 2021. Today's theme is hanging out with me on my birthday. I'm Derek Story. So I thought today we'd do something a little bit different because, well, it's my birthday, and even though I've been working off and on all day, tonight I just want to hang out with you. So that's what we're going to do. I have some fun news stories to share, and we're just going to talk shop like a couple photo buddies hanging out together on some guy's birthday. I hope you enjoy the show. Alrighty, so yes, indeed it is. June 7th is my birthday, and I'm working today. And I have had a pretty full day. I had things I had to get done, finishing up a LinkedIn Learning title. I had to do a couple retakes on movies. Getting ready for a big week in our infrared photography workshop. So I had a few things to do there. You know, just kind of taking care of business best I could. And I was going, okay, well, I want today to be a little different than a normal workday because I do believe in celebrating birthdays. I think, you know, they're one of the more fun things a guy or gal can do. So I thought, okay, I'm going to make the podcast fun. That's where I'm going to have my fun work in today's lineup. And so, yes, you are the victim of this. You have been selected to be my entertainment today. So I hope you don't mind too much. So what I wanted to do was hang out for a little bit today, just like we're, you know, photo buddies, like we are, and talk a little bit about some of the headlines in the news. Now, I was hoping that there would be a little bit more juice from the Apple event today, the keynote for the developers conference. I thought, okay, they'll do some really cool photo stuff and I'll be like ready to go for the podcast and I'll have it all queued up. So I had it on. This is this morning, right, for me, because it was on at 10 o'clock Pacific time. So I got my film camera shop shipments ready and got those out the door. I published an article on medium.com, which I'll talk about here in a few minutes. Got that out the door. And then I said, okay, I'll tune in to the Apple keynote for their developer conference, WWDC. And I'll get something really cool to talk about on today's show. It'll be breaking news. It'll be fantastic. So I'm listening and I'm following the Twitter feed while I'm listening. And I'm going, oh, God. No more health app stuff, please. You know, and it was just going into a bunch of stuff that is very appropriate for developers, right? That's why they're there. You know, it's a programming conference. You know, they're talking about under the hood. They're talking about the next version of a Mac operating system called Monterey. You know, all that kind of stuff. And I will touch on a couple things when we get to the news. But there was, from my perspective, and I doubt that you're going to differ with me, from my perspective, there was not any substantial photography news to relate. So that was kind of a bust. I'm not a developer, right? No, I've been to a couple of these developer conferences, and remember, I was an editor at O'Reilly Media for 9 years, and that's all we did, you know, open source developer programmer stuff. So yeah, I know what it's like. I've been around it, but today I just wasn't in the mood for it. And maybe part of it was because it was my birthday and I was more in a having fun mood. And, so I have this thing playing on my laptop, you know, the live stream playing on my laptop while I'm doing all sorts of other stuff. I probably sat down and watched it maybe for 10 minutes during the whole course of the thing. And that's only because I was taking a coffee break. So no big news. I'm going to touch on a few of the highlights from today, but no big news for us. So then I kind of motor on and I said, okay, I'm still looking for something fun because that wasn't it. So now we're all the way up to about noon, my time. and in search of entertainment, in search of something that would be delightful on my birthday. So Kalari sent me, and you know, they're the outfit that I work with for infrared, you know, their filters and their cameras and so forth. So they sent me their new hot mirror filter. Now, some of you are probably going, ooh, Derek, it doesn't take much to excite you, right? Well, actually, this was pretty exciting for me. And what the hot mirror filter does, this is version 2. This is what we've been waiting for. I pre-ordered it. What it does is it takes a camera that's been converted for infrared, either full spectrum or dual spectrum. So it has to be one of those two, either full spectrum or dual spectrum. It allows you, when you put this filter on, to shoot regular visible light photography. So you can imagine how the nimble photographer in me feels about this, because I'm going now to just one camera plus my iPhone for a whole bunch of stuff. So I can put an infrared filter on this camera and shoot IR, which I did today, or I could put the hot mirror filter on it and shoot regular visible light, and I still have my iPhone. So what I wanted to know was, is this new hot mirror filter that they were very excited about, is it really better than the first one? And I was hoping that it would be, because the first one was close to looking natural, but it lacked a few things. It was, to me, it was just a little too blue. It wasn't picking up warm tones in things, you know, kind of tend to cool them off even more. It wasn't quite as, I didn't feel like it was capturing all the colors. Right? So it was close, but not perfect. So I put this new hot mirror filter 2 on my camera, my Olympus, and I said, I'm going to go for a walk. It was really a nice day, mid-70s, light breeze, that whole thing. I go, I'm going to go for a walk, and there were clouds in the sky. There are clouds in the sky. I go, all right, this is a birthday activity now, right? this is something kind of cool. So I went out, and I was taking some pictures with the hot mirror filter, and you know, doing some comparison shots, and I shot some regular IR too, some 720, so I got some good black and white, and I shot some IR color with the 590, having a good time. And I'm about halfway through my walk, and my camera starts being weird, and I go, oh no, what's this? And it was really funny, and I had the easy lens on there. So I took the battery out, I unmounted the lens and remounted the lens. I did all that kind of stuff, and it wasn't having any of it. Now, fortunately, I had captured a bunch of shots already. So I go, I sure hope whatever the problem is, if it's going to be a problem, it's the lens and not the camera, because that would not be a good birthday gift, right, to have my IR camera go down. So I got back here to the studio, and I changed the battery right away, because the battery was low, and, you know, who knows. And then I put a prime lens on there, and I started shooting, and everything worked fine. So now I just have to go back and test that lens. Maybe that lens went on me, the 14-42. I've had it for a long time, and I just used the heck out of it. Fortunately, I do have a second one. So if it does go on me, I'm all right. I'm all right. It won't be horrible. So, so that was pretty good, but it didn't really scratch my birthday itch. It came close. It came close. And I got some good shots for our workshop this week. So then I rolled into the afternoon. I had some more things to take care of. And now I'm talking with you. So I hate to say it, but I think all the pressure's on you for, you know, having a birthday bash here. So because the other things just didn't work out the way I thought they would. All right, so let's talk a little bit about some news here, okay? There's a couple things that happened this week that are noteworthy. The first one, and this is a biggie. So Capture One Pro now has M1 support. In other words, they rewrote, and I talked about this last week, they rewrote the app and so that it screams on Apple M1 processor computers. But now they're working on an iPad version of it. They're working on an iPad version of it. And this is a big deal. And in fact, my Medium article this week on medium.com is about this very topic. I talk about this very thing. And basically what I'm saying in that article and what I think about this and why I'm so enthusiastic about it is because my one beef, my real beef with Capture One Pro has been that it's been like Hotel California for my images. In other words, you know, everything goes in, right, in my professional assignments and everything, but they don't really come out very often. And they come out when I do a big export. I set up an export, which is, you know, not the easiest thing in Capture One Pro. Set up a big export and get that to the client, put it on their server, do all that. Yes, but in terms of just sharing shots with people every day, like for instance, if you and I were hanging out in person instead of like this, you know, and I wanted to show you something on my iPhone, my Capture One stuff wouldn't be there unless I physically exported it out and put it into iCloud. Not only is this important with Capture One Pro coming to the iPad, for us to be able to use all those great tools on a tablet, that is fantastic. But I think that another part of it, and we don't know the details on this yet, but I think another part of it is going to be that the application also talks to either iCloud or some sort of cloud connectivity so that I will be able to have my stuff on my iPad somehow connect to the stuff on my desktop. And maybe, you know, it's like Lightroom Classic where you get to set up some sharing folders or whatever. But I know that I'm going to be able to finally jailbreak some of those images, you know, off my computer and into my mobile devices. So I'm really excited about this. This is an update that we're going to see in 2022. I'm sure we'll get more information later this year. But for the moment, I'm really enthusiastic that Capture One Pro is coming to the iPad. And I just think that's the first domino that falls, and a bunch of others are going to fall right after that. So FedEx just delivered, and I mean, literally just now delivered. I actually paused recording and went down and got it. And so this is my birthday gift to me. Okay, so I bought myself a birthday gift, and it is the Tascam Mini Studio Creator. So this is a nice little podcast interface, so you will benefit from my birthday gift here. One of the things that I like about it is that it allows two microphones to be plugged in, so it's going to make in-person interviews a lot easier to manage, especially now that I get to do in-person interviews again. Yay! Yes, we can sit in the same room. But it also has some other cool things. It has effects on here. It has it has all sorts of, I could put a little bit of reverb. I think I can do applause. So this is going to be a neat little thing. So one of my tasks this week will be to get this set up, and hopefully I'll be using it on the podcast next week. And I'll just have fun with it. You know, I won't go overboard. I promise I won't go overboard, but you know, I wanted to add a little bit more spice to our time together here. And I think this is going to give me some nice tools to play with. So I'll do a picture of it in the show notes so you can see it. But yes, so I got to open my birthday gift while you were here, my gift from me to me, the Tascam Mini Studio Creator. We'll be playing with it next week, so stay tuned for that. All right, let's move on here. Another announcement, and this is nice. DxO Nik Collection 4. They're doing this on about an annual cycle now. DxO has taken over the Nik Collection, so it has silver effects and color effects and all of that. And they've updated it, and so now that new suite is out. And this suite, I mean, check out what's in this collection. For those of you that aren't familiar with the Nik Collection, it has Analog Effects Pro 2. And I think DxO has put a lot of their film simulations in there as well. Color Effects Pro 4, Define 2, and that reduces noise levels. HDR Effects Pro 2, Sharpener Pro 3, SilverFX Pro 3, and that went through a major update. Viveza 3 is updated, tools for adjusting color, light, and tonality, and perspective effect. All of this in this suite, and they've updated the code, the base code, and then, of course, they keep playing with the features and adding features to it. So all this stuff is here, and you know, this is a great suite of plugins. It's wonderful for Lightroom users in particular. My personal favorite in this whole collection is SilverFX. I love SilverFX, and I'm really happy to see that they've updated it. And so I'm going to be talking about SilverFX here near the end of this month when we start our Ultimate Black and White Workshop. It's one of the tools that I recommend. So this is very nice that the suite is coming out before that workshop happens. That was great of them to do that for me. I really, really appreciate it. There's a good article about it on DP Review, good review, and there's probably other places too. On a DP Review, it was a June 3rd publication. It's called DxO NIC Collection 4 Review. And as I said, NIC Collection 4, you can buy for $149, and that gets the whole set of tools. So that was nice news to have out. And again, I don't use all the tools in this collection, but for sure, I love Analog Effects. I think that is just a great collection. I'm looking forward to some of the new stuff they've added, and SilverFX, as I mentioned. And then sometimes I will use ColorFX Pro as well. So those are my favorite, and I really should play with some of these other things. So that is out now too, $149 for the new rebooted DxO NIC Collection 4. Okay, what else we have going on here? You want to talk just for a minute about Mac OS Monterey and how, photographically speaking, not much going on. They have one thing. I think it's going to be in the latest iOS. Yeah, it's going to be in the latest iOS. They're adding something called Live Text. This feature will enable Apple devices to recognize text and numbers within an image and let users copy that text from the image and paste it into other apps like Mail and Messages. So this is one photo thing that I think is pretty cool. One of the oldest tips going back in my photo history is that when you're out and about, when you're traveling or, you know, photographing on location, to take a picture of signs and placards and things, because you have that picture in there with then the buildings and everything. So then you know what those buildings are, you know what the history of those buildings are, you know all that kind of stuff. So I always say, don't just shoot the building or shoot the location. Make sure that you shoot any placards as well. Boy, I'll tell you, when a few months go by and you're revisiting those shots and all those Adobe structures look the same, you're going to be really, really glad that you shot some placards so you know one Adobe from another. Okay, so this is going to take it to a new level. And again, this was announced today. It's going to be in iOS 15. iPhone shooters will get this. And so when you take a picture of that placard now or that sign, the iPhone will recognize the text and numbers within that picture, and you'll be able to copy and paste them somewhere else. So now taking a picture of the sign is even better because you can copy and paste that information into the caption of a photo, for example. So I do think that this is pretty cool. Another good reason to take that shot with the iPhone, that shot of a placard or sign, is that you'll also get the geotagging. You'll get the location information as well. So now you have all the information on the sign, the dates, the history, whatever they put in there, which will be selectable, right, because of this new feature in iOS 15. And you'll have the geotags and the time of day, and a lot of times you'll have the weather and all that stuff. If ever there was an argument for taking pictures of signs and placards, this has got to be it. So that was the one thing that did catch my eye today. Live text, and it'll be part of iOS 15, which we should see released later this year. They usually do that in September. Going back to the Mac now, universal control. So you can have trackpad on your laptop, control your iPad sitting next to it. Safari gets a UI facelift and some new features. iCloud gets some new security measures, which seem timely given all the stuff that's going on right now, to beef up iCloud so that it's more secure than ever. You can now AirPlay to a Mac. So instead of just AirPlaying, you know, taking some content that you have on your phone and just being able to send it to an Apple TV, which I love, that I do love that feature a lot. Now we can AirPlay it to a Mac as well. So I could see some good demonstration or some good teaching possibilities with that. You can take the media from your iPhone and iPad and use AirPlay to stream it to your Mac. So that's also going to be in the new Mac OS Monterey. They're really upping the ante on FaceTime and messages. And Notes gets a major facelift with all sorts of functionality. And they're adding this thing called Quick Note, which allows you to jot down a little note regardless of what application you're in. It just sort of pops up from the lower corner. And you can do all sorts of stuff with that, add URLs, all that good stuff. So that is kind of the gist of what we found out today about Mac OS Monterey. We did get that one iOS feature for being able to recognize text in pictures. And that was about it. So it wasn't a great day on the Apple front for photographers. For other folks, there's a lot of good stuff in here. But for us, not so much. I think the big news is Capture One Pro coming to the iPad. That I am excited about. So there's a look at today's news, and I just wanted to chat with you about some of the stuff that has been going on. Let's do a little virtual camera club news here. So first thing I want to do is thank our Patreon members. They've been super helpful, and you know, the thing that I'm working on now, I mentioned this last week, is trying to figure out our workshop schedule going forward, second half of the year. You know, now taking into account that people are getting a little busier, they're just not hanging around the house all the time. So I'm working on that. I'll be able to make some more headway on that this week. And I hope I have some stuff to report to you. Our Patreon members have been really helpful in this area in giving me some good advice and some good feedback. And I think we're going to come out at a good spot on this workshop stuff. And you have them to thank. So not only do we have them to thank for their financial support, but also for their advice and insights. And we have a Patreon tile on all the pages of The Digital Story. If you'd like to join us, all you have to do is click on that tile, go over to our site, take a look around, and hopefully you'll become part of the inner circle, because it is a great place to be. Also, I want to thank our good friends at Red River Paper. They are the longest running sponsor of The Digital Story, and they have a terrific Facebook page at facebook.com/redriverpaper. But there's something else I want to mention around printing, because it came up this last week, and that I wanted to send off a print, someone who had done a nice thing for me professionally. And so I wanted to send them a print because I think those are nice thank yous. But I was so slammed with all the recording for LinkedIn and everything. I just didn't have time to fire up the printer and really kind of focus on the printing the way that I wanted. So I went to my print supply, and what that is are boxes that have prints that I've done before. And one of the tips I have for you about printing is that when you get the print that you want, and especially if it's one of your good shots, you like the way it came out, you know, sometimes it takes a print or two to get it exactly the way you want. After you do that, make at least two more prints. Make at least two more prints and then store them. I just keep an archive of prints that I can go back to, because for those times when I want to send someone something special, whether it's a fine art card or a print or something, then I have one or two of my favorite prints ready to go. You know, I don't have time to fire up the printer, but I do have time to pull one of those prints, package it up, and send it to them. And that's exactly what I did. And it feels good because I still accomplished my goal of being able to thank somebody for something nice they did with my work, even though I was really busy and I didn't have time to print at that moment. So make a couple extra prints when you do your printing. I promise you, there'll be a moment where you'd be really glad you did that. And a big thanks to Red River Paper for making this all possible and sponsoring our show. Okay, so that is going to do it for me today. I think what I'm going to do now is, you know, wrap up this show. Going to have a nice dinner tonight. Put my feet up for a little bit. Maybe watch a little basketball. I think some basketball's on tonight. I hope some basketball's on tonight. And then I'll edit and produce the show a little bit later. Thank you so much for spending some time with me on my birthday. You know how important you are to me. This photography community just means the world to me. And I'm so happy to have all of you here advising, supporting, participating, being active and going out there and taking pictures after we talk about something. I love that. And I love that I can talk to you week in and week out. I feel very fortunate. It's one of the best birthday presents of all. Until next Tuesday, stay safe, be creative, go out there and have some fun. And I'll see you with, hopefully, the new audio interface next week. Bye-bye now.